You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Be in the moment. One play at a time. Believe it, and you'll be world champs.
Snap from under center, steps back, throws the fade, back shoulder, Hooper cuts, got it!
More of that ahead as we've got an inside look at the Rams Super Bowl win from the perspective of the head coach and the quarterbacks in the Super Bowl. Part of our soundtrack segment, and with that we say hello and welcome in NFL Live. We've got a fairly packed house to my left, your right, Jeff Donaldson. And Damian Woody, I am Field Yates. Mike Tannenbaum joining us remotely. All kinds
of space. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Pretty good.
So much room for activities here as on NFL Live. We start in a familiar spot. We are still awaiting more clarity on the future of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Earlier today, the team officially announced that longtime assistant Tom Clements, a coach beloved by Rodgers, has been rehired as the team's quarterbacks coach. Been with the team for a while, was briefly with Arizona, now back in Green Bay. And I'll start with you, Jeff. Why is this particular hire so important to Aaron Rodgers?
It is well beyond the obvious. Well, it's actually all very obvious Okay. Why this is so important. What I want to say here is, though, don't just take the assumption that this is important. Take it from me, who's spoken with people, who talked to Rodgers. This is critical. I would have said 2 days ago, before this hire took place, that I still had the percentages pretty low for Rodgers returning to Green Bay. I still thought retirement was an option based on the conversations I've had. The Denver Broncos were a possibility, other teams in the mix, perhaps somewhere like Tennessee in the mix. But Clements coming onto this staff, Coming out of retirement, by the way, it's not as if this is just like he was somewhere else, that staff got fired and he came here. He's coming out of retirement to be back in Green Bay. This was important to Aaron Rodgers. And I think that this is a critical component to Rodgers returning to Green Bay in 2022.
One step closer to the Packers and their fans avoiding a nightmare. So, Mike, I ask you this. What else needs to happen to keep Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay?
We're sitting down with Aaron Rodgers, and we are going to be great listeners, both economically and non-economically. We're going to adjust his contract. We're going to push out cap charges. We're going to make sure that Devontae Adams doesn't leave, Devondre Campbell doesn't leave. And then we're going to say, hey, you have a meaningful seat at the table here, just like you did with Randall Cobb. And then we want to talk to you about the off-season calendar. So you don't have to be here in the spring, in the summer. We could talk about how often you're going to throw. And now we're talking about legacy. Look, the Green Bay Packers play at Lambeau Field, but we'll break it on Aaron Rodgers Boulevard. We'll do whatever it takes so you're happy and satisfied and hopefully have another meaningful 3 to 4 year run here. And as Jeff alluded to, having Tom Clements is a good step in the right direction.
Yeah, and from my perspective, I think Green Bay is the place to be for Aaron Rodgers. Because, you know, Mike talked about legacy. Well, you talk about a guy who's a four-time MVP, he's only won one Super Bowl. What's the best opportunity for him to get back to a Super Bowl? I always look at everything, for me, always starts within a division, right? The NFC North, you see teams in that division that are kind of in rebuild mode. There's uncertainty within that division. But the one constant is Green Bay Packers. And ultimately, if you get Aaron Rodgers back in the mix, you are clearly the favorite within that division, not only to win a division, but wanted to be one of the favorites within the NFC. So I think the familiarity with the organization, the coaching staff, and salary cap aside, we know the salary cap can be massaged. You can do all the type of things that you need to do in order to get your roster where it needs to be. I still think the Green Bay Packers are the best spot for Aaron Rodgers if he wants to try to get to a Super Bowl.
The thing is, the Packers convincing Aaron that they're going to take these steps, you know, making sure they keep Devontae Adams, is critical because there's going to be other teams out there that are going to show the love to Aaron in ways that perhaps the Packers might not have. We saw it with Tom Brady with the Patriots when he ended up leaving. Other teams showing that love. With Aaron Rodgers, we know that that was going to be a critical component. The fact that the Packers are stepping up definitely makes them now the front runners in this race.
I wouldn't call Aaron the easiest book to read from time to time, but I did notice some contrast from his acceptance speech as the MVP last year to this year, right, where he is at least once again naming members of the front office by their first name and not just referring to being grateful for the fans and the coaching staff. He's now acknowledging the organization does exist. And again, Tom Clements brought back as the quarterback's coach. He and Rodgers were part of that 2010 team that won the Super Bowl. We stay in the NFC North, and the Vikings have a new head coach in Kevin O'Connell. He has some familiarity with their incumbent starter, Kirk Cousins. They spent a year together when he was the quarterback's coach of the now Washington Commanders team. And O'Connell was asked about Kirk Cousins during his first press conference.
I know he's under contract, and I'm excited to coach him. We've already started thinking about how we're going to build those systems for him. I know who he is as a player, and I know what he's capable of. So I feel like that's going to be an advantage for us as we build our system offensively. Make sure we really focus on the things Kirk does well, which I do think are a lot of aspects of playing the position, and help him on a daily basis, connect with his team, lead us, be completely quieted mind quarterback that can go play because he's talented enough to go do that, and putting him in the best possible situations to have success.
Yeah, first time head coach. That was a perfect threading of the needle. Show some confidence behind Kirk Cousins, but not fully committed, right? And with Kirk Cousins, it's a little bit of the good and the bad, plus the ugly. The good stuff is here. He had the second-best touchdown-to-interception ratio in the league this past season, behind only Aaron Rodgers, who we just talked about. The bad is he went only 4-12 against teams that made the playoffs over the past two seasons. And finally, the ugly is a salary cap hit of $45 million in 2022. That's the third highest in the league. Let's focus in on his coach, his new coach with that, and Kevin O'Connell. And Mike Tannenbaum, you actually had O'Connell with you when you were with the Jets. He was backup quarterback at the time. What did you see from him in that role?
Fielded 20-plus years of working in front offices. He was by far the most coach-ready player I've ever been around. He actually used to sit on defensive meetings with Rex Ryan to come up with blitzes because he understood protection so well. So he was a coach while he was a player. And we had guys like Cliff Kingsbury, Mark Brunell, other guys that have been really good coaches. Kevin's from Philadelphia. He has great relatability. He's really smart. This is great news for the Vikings and for Kirk Cousins because whatever Kirk Cousins has, Kevin O'Connell will get it out of him.
All right, so we had the most coach-ready player in Kevin O'Connell. We had the most TV-ready player in Damian Woody, who, of course, with Mike and the Jets as well. Let me ask you this, Damian. What does Cousins have to prove he should be there beyond this season as the starting quarterback? Because, as we mentioned, that salary cap number is significant. They better figure this out one way or the other.
Well, we know, listen, Kirk Cousins, he's going to put up the stats. There's no question about that. But I think when you talk about a quarterback and you want to be one of the top-tier quarterbacks, it's about moments. You know, we all recognize with quarterbacks, it's the moments in the postseason. So I think if Kirk Cousins want to be the quarterback with Minnesota Vikings beyond 2022, I think he need more of those postseason moments. Yes, the stats are great. We saw the, you know, touchdown to interception ratio. That's all great and everything. But the more moments that we see from Kirk Cousins in the postseason, then I think that will set him up for future success with the Minnesota Vikings.
This is Kirk's best shot, especially in Minnesota. And I actually am a little bullish on the fact that he could rebound and be a really good player this season. And I say that because of O'Connell's background. Look, I know that he's not of the Sean, just because he coached under Sean McVay, it's not like necessarily, he's his own guy. But he has spent a lot of time around, whether it's McVay or Kyle Shanahan or LaFleur, he's spent time with those guys and they love Kirk Cousins. They believe that they know how to make this guy a Pro Bowl quarterback. I think that's important because I think that will rub off on him. The other thing here is that O'Connell was a guy in L.A. with Jared Goff that even after Goff and McVay had their falling out, O'Connell was constantly supportive of Goff. He's the kind of coach who's going to see the best in a quarterback and try to get that out of him. I think that also will play big dividends when it comes to Cousins' potential here.
Yeah, Kevin O'Connell is playing with house money. If it works out with Kirk Cousins the way Jeff just alluded, that's great. They'll run into the sunset for the next 3 to 5 years. If it doesn't, you move on from Kirk Cousins, let Kevin O'Connell draft and develop his replacement. Candidly, that's one of the reasons organizations change head coaches. And the other thing that bears noting is Mike Zimmer was a defensive coach for a number of years. That's who Kirk Cousins had. Having an offensive coach hopefully will change that paradigm in terms of play calling, how they procure talent. So I think that's something to note as well. But make no mistake about it, if it works out, great. If not, Kevin O'Connell will be there for years to come.
Man, and if Kirk Cousins is there for years to come, it's probably because he got another massive bag. The man has been outstanding.
Knows how to get paid.
He knows how to get paid. That much is for sure. We've got plenty much plenty more coming ahead here on NFL Live. You know, a year ago today, the Colts made a big move for Carson Wentz. Our guys give their takes on which team they think came out on top. I think you might know the answer. Plus, Joe Burrow had this unique approach when competing against the Rams in the Super Bowl.
Hey, Eric. I'm Joe. Nice to meet you, brother. I love watching you grow up. Love watching you growing up, man. Oh, I appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Carson Wentz headed to Indy.
You're talking about a guy that is a top six or seven player at the position in the NFL.
Carson Wentz, he rolls to his right. Touchdown! Wentz keeps it and he scores!
Now this is the pressure. This is bigger pressure than being in Philly.
Strip sack, ball's out of Wentz, he's face down.
Wentz to throw.
Another takeaway, picking off Carson Wentz.
You needed your quarterback to go be great. Carson Wentz couldn't.
Left a bad taste in my mouth and I gave it away.
I think what we know now at this point, he's not that guy and he's not going to be that guy ever again.
How about this? Exactly a year ago today, the Colts and Eagles pulled off a trade that sent Carson Wentz to Indianapolis. It ended up netting Philadelphia the 16th pick in this year's draft. Meanwhile, Wentz's future in Indy is bleak, according to Chris Mortensen, with that report on Super Bowl Sunday morning. So let's dive into why that may be the case. Wentz had an inconsistent first season with the Colts, especially when you look at total QBR. There are some bright spots, and Wentz had four games with a QBR over 80. He also had four games with a QBR below 30. And the lasting memory for Colts fans is obviously Week 18, when they lost to the Jaguars, when Wentz posted a QBR of 4. That's right, 4 out of 100. The lowest in his career. So, Jeff, I think it's probably clear where this is heading, but what are the Colts' plans for Carson Wentz?
Well, first of all, Chris Mortensen, everything that he reported, I continue to hear the same things out of Indy and around the league, is that I would expect him to be released or traded. Mm. A trade market for him feels like a tricky dilemma. Yeah, I don't necessarily see that happening, but the Colts, as much as we want to look at Carson Wentz from a talent perspective, the Colts also didn't necessarily fall in love with him from the leadership perspective. And I'm not suggesting that he's a bad leader. I'm just saying that he didn't necessarily reach the level of the bar that maybe they had hoped for. So I think that this is a scenario where they're not happy with him and they would like to explore other possibilities. Damian's laughing because he's just trying to dance around this one and be nice right now.
No, I'm not. No, I'm going to keep it. Listen, if anyone knows me, I'm going to keep it all the way real right now. The fact that you're talking about they didn't know about his leadership. Like, Frank Wright was with them in Philly.
No, they know about it, but I don't think that it necessarily blossomed the way they had hoped.
Listen, I know in the meeting before, I said, Carson Wentz, you probably got to bring him back because who you going to replace him with? But I just get this. I think the Indianapolis Colts was sold on, Frank Wright, I can get this guy in the 2017 Carson Wentz. Mm. I can get that guy back.
Right.
That guy is gone. That guy is not only gone, he's long gone.
Yep.
And what we saw from the Indianapolis Colts down the stretch, I could say the whole season, that team was led by Jonathan Taylor and their defense. And what we saw from Carson Wentz down the stretch, particularly the last couple games, the dude just couldn't make plays. He couldn't make plays. And with a roster that's talented the Colts have, you gotta be able to maximize the talent that you have on that roster.
Yeah. D-Wood, I see it differently, and here's why. I'm not saying he's perfect, but with two games to go, this team was headed to the playoffs. He didn't play well against Vegas, certainly did not play well against Jacksonville, but neither did their defense. This is a hugely consequential year for Frank Reich, their head coach, Chris Bowe, their GM. They've assembled a very good team. And who are you going to get that's going to come in the first year for that new quarterback that should play better than Carson Wentz being with Frank Reich for another year in the same system? So I understand the inconsistencies, but one of the threshold questions you have to ask yourself as an organization, who exactly are you going to get in there that's going to be better?
Jimmy G is better.
My man. Mm.
Jimmy
My
G
man.
Ooh, I would take Jimmy G over him.
There you go, Dan.
Over Carson Wentz.
Now we're talking.
I mean, if they were on the precipice of the playoffs, Jimmy G probably would have got him over the top rather than Carson Wentz.
You know why? He's a stabilizing force for that organization. Like, Jimmy might have his flaws in his game himself, but I think he comes in there and is a stabilizing force for that team. Down the stretch, I mean, I was at that Jaguars game, and I was standing on the sideline that whole time watching Carson Wentz. The vibe wasn't there, man. I'm not trying to, like, act like I'm part of the team or in the organization, but my eyes were open. The vibe wasn't there.
Sure.
Jimmy G, man. Jimmy G to Indy.
Clutch Productions is a real trait that evaluators are looking at with quarterbacks. And so, Mike, I ask you this. Let's play that Jimmy G hypothetical out one step further. If he becomes available, which you would think he would be given Trey Lance's future in San Francisco, is that a quarterback that Indy should target?
Yes, but I don't understand why he would be available. I am really hard-pressed to understand why a really good team like the 49ers would let him go. When we saw all the injuries all year long at the quarterback position, why not make that a position of strength? Let him and Trey Lance battle it out. Let the best player play. And over a 17-game season, they're going to need contributions from both quarterbacks. And it's a team that could go to the Super Bowl.
It seems like the 49ers planted their flag last April when they traded up to pick number 3. And perhaps there's some financial considerations as well, as Jimmy G would clear $25 million from the cap. But we've already sort of started this game, so let's keep it moving with some hypothetical quarterback trades. We move into some quick reads. Let's get into the waters of quarterback trades we'd like to see. Jeff, you would like Jimmy G to Indianapolis, but give us another one you'd like to see.
I'm playing fantasy football here, just to be clear. But I love the idea of Russell Wilson winding up in New York. Come on, everybody around Russell Wilson knows the fact that he loves the idea of being in that big market in New York. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and trade him for Daniel Jones. I don't even know if the Seattle Seahawks want Daniel Jones.
Right.
But I just love the idea of Russell Wilson ended up with the New York Giants, and I bet there's some Giants fans who would love to see it too.
Jeff, you got the right quarterback, but you got the wrong team. I'm trading Russell Wilson to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They got a championship coach. They got a championship defense. They need a championship quarterback. And, guys, get used to saying this sentence. The Pittsburgh Steelers have to work hard to close the gap with the Cincinnati Bengals because they're going to be looking up at Joe Burrow for a long time. Russell Wilson gives them a chance to compete with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, and I'm going to stick with Russell Wilson, but I'm going to have him going to the NFC South with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Listen, we know that Terrific Tom has retired and moved on,
they need
a replacement at the quarterback position. The one thing about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that roster can still contend. Oh, defense, they got
Mike
weapons.
Evans?
How about a Russell Wilson you enter into the equation
Why
not? I am on fire right now.
I'm being told that viewership is way down right now in Seattle. Apparently fans are riled up. We're trying to trade away their franchise centerpiece in Russell Wilson, but he is one of the key dominoes that may or may not fall this upcoming NFL.
You really
NFL
shipped him off,
season.
Huh? He's
yeah,
just gone.
Hey, Russ is packing his bags right now back home. Hey, we're not even close to done on NFL Live. As the NFC South has some major quarterback questions, can Carolina trust Sam Darnold or should look for another quarterback? We weigh their options when we return here on NFL Live.
Thought I was near the finish line. That's where you're wrong.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Here's our next UFC Fight Night. Tomorrow from the Apex in Las Vegas, Johnny Walker takes on Jamal Hill in the light heavyweight main event. The prelims start at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific, followed by the main card at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific on ESPN+. Get ESPN+, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. And NBA All-Star Weekend begins tonight in Cleveland with the Celebrity Game on ESPN and the ESPN app. Again this year, Hall of Famers Bill Walton and Dominique Wilkins are the head coaches. And Brown, star defensive end Myles Garrett, headlines Team Neek. Our coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific, from the Wolstein Center, home of Cleveland State University. All right, back to football. We're 5 days removed from the Rams' Super Bowl win over the Bengals, with L.A.'s celebration continuing this week. Let's look back and take a listen to some of the soundtracks from a thrilling final game of the NFL season.
What do you work so hard for?
Why are you doing it?
Hey! Love you, big guy. Let's do it, huh?
Yes, sir.
Love you, bro.
Love you, man. Let's go.
Yes, sir.
I get a zit right in the middle of my lip. Day of the Super Bowl. Unbelievable. I'm 25 years old. I'm tired of this.
Set! Looking for Odell Beckham Jr. He high points the football and has the six. Here's a play fake. A roll right. Cooper Kupp in the end zone. Stafford sees him. Back by Lombard.
Yes! Great job seeing that.
Hey, where'd that ball hit? Good spot? Just kind of right out front?
I mean, Eli used to throw it a little like.
No, I just couldn't see it.
Hey, I don't know why you didn't wear number 10. All you throw is dime.
Hey, Eric. I'm Joe. Nice to meet you, brother. I love watching you grow up. Love watching you growing up, man.
Love everything.
I appreciate you, brother.
No BS.
Yes, sir.
Right, Eddie! Right, son!
Great job, Joe!
Hey, good job, good job, good job. Good job, man. Good job, good job.
Burrow now scrambling, fires deep downfield for Higgins.
Oh,
tucks
baby.
Up, catches the ball, a 75-yard touchdown.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
How about giving the Bengals lead a one-play drive?
Be in the moment, one play at a time. Believe it, and you'll be world champs.
Stafford from under center, steps back, throws the fade, back shoulder. Cooper Kupp got it.
I love you, man. Whatever the f*** happens, I love you. That's a big-time guy.
Hey, what else? What else could you want? What else could you want? Right now, let's go!
Right, son!
Throw it, throw for it. He flicked away on fourth down. Aaron Donald got there.
I knew it! I knew Aaron would make the play!
Good job, brother. Congrats.
You're a hell of a player. You got a great future, man. Yeah. Love competing against you. Just keep being you, buddy.
Yeah, appreciate you.
All right, man.
Great job.
I love you, Joe. Oh, we won the Super Bowl. How's that? How about that?
Great moments there, including, of course, Joe Burrow introducing himself, Eric Weddle, amongst others. Damien, you played in a couple Super Bowls. Did you ever introduce someone before the game?
I just introduced these hands. That's about it. The players, you know, all the niceties and stuff like that, that's not how I roll. But these hands, yeah, I introduced them to a few people.
Get these hands in the Super Bowl. So you all know by now the Rams are, of course, Super Bowl champs for the 56th edition of the Super Bowl. But they didn't have the best regular season record in their own conference. The Packers and Buccaneers were both 13-4. But major changes appear on the way in Tampa. You may have heard Tom Brady retired. Perhaps in Green Bay, we'll see. The Cowboys have the same record as the Rams, and the Cardinals were one game back at 11-6. So it's time for some more quick reads, and we ask you this. Which team is the biggest threat to the Rams in the NFC? Mike T, you start us off.
San Francisco 49ers, they were right there. If Jarski Tart holds on to that interception, we're probably talking about a 49er team in the Super Bowl. So they're a most complete team. I'm bringing back Jimmy G. Let him compete with Trey Lance. The other big threat to the Rams is something called a salary cap. To run this team back, they're going to have a lot of work to do because they assembled a great team, but it's going to be hard to keep it together and be sustainable.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys, and I think the biggest thing is continuity. They didn't lose either one of their coordinators, which is huge for the team, and they still have a bunch of playmakers on both sides of the football. They need to sign Randy Gregory back this offseason to keep that core pass rushing group alive up front on defense. But with Dak Prescott and company on offense, they should be able to score a lot of points and get after the quarterback on defense.
Man, Mike T really has Jimmy G sticking around San Francisco, huh? I think the Packers are the team to beat still in the NFC, even really honestly over the Rams, especially if Aaron Rodgers does in fact come back. This team feels like it's edging closer and closer to that Super Bowl. I understand the idea of the drama that faced them this year with Aaron Rodgers. I feel like this coming season, if he commits early enough, we'll have some of that go away. And then the Packers can be the team to beat.
There you have it. It is the offseason, but it's not like the offseason, like combine and free agency. It's workout video season, as Jameis Winston, coming off of an ACL injury, posted this video yesterday, doing some drills indoor, looking pretty mobile to me. And that leads us to our quarterback storylines. I mean, compared to me, certainly very mobile. NFC South storylines, let's begin with the Saints. Wayne Swinson will be a free agent when the new league year begins on March 16th. He continues to recover from that torn ACL. Meanwhile, the Falcons have the 8th overall pick in this year's draft. Matt Ryan turns 37 in May. He's a salary cap hit of more than $48 million next season, currently the highest in NFL history. The Panthers, meanwhile, have the 6th pick in April's draft, and Sam Darnold's under contract for one more season, about $19 million, fully guaranteed. He had the worst touchdown-to-interception ratio in the league this past year. That's not good. Meanwhile, the Bucs, again, reminder, Tom Brady, retired. He also led the NFL in both passing touchdowns and passing yards last year at 44. I don't have any idea how that actually is possible, but he's Tom Brady. A lot of things seem impossible with him that he makes look easy. Mike, who has the toughest quarterback situation in the NFC South this upcoming year?
Tampa Bay. And here's why. All they have is question marks. Blaine Gabbert's going to be a free agent. They don't know what they have in Kyle Trask. And as great as Bill Belichick is, it took him 2 years to figure out how to replace Tom Brady. So this is a team, as the guys allude to, has a really good nucleus. But who's going to play quarterback is a massive question mark for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, this one is easy for me. It's the Carolina Panthers. Mm. You talk about who's going to play quarterback. Who's going to do that for the Carolina Panthers? We got Sam Darnold, who the Carolina Panthers already exercised the fifth-year option.
Crazy.
Going to make $18 million. He's not the answer, okay? They already made wholesale changes as far as the assistant coaches. Ben McAdoo is the new offensive coordinator. Listen, I think there's a lot of heat going on in Carolina right now. If it doesn't work out this year, boy, it could be, the hammer could come down with David Tepper, the owner, as far as the whole coaching staff is concerned.
Actually, I like what Meg T is saying about the Bucs. I just think in Jason Light, the GM, Mike Greenberg, who runs operations there, in them I trust. I think that they'll figure it out at the quarterback position. I think the rest of the team has an identity. A smart man sides with the big man, and I'm going to side with Damian Woody over there. I agree. I don't think that the Carolina Panthers have an identity at all. I don't even know how you lure a quarterback into a situation where you look around and Christian McCaffrey is obviously the identity of that team, but he's not necessarily staying healthy all the time. I don't know what the answer there is, especially with your point about Darnold. So we saw it at the end of this year. I just think the lack of identity makes that job even more difficult than it would normally be.
Mike, just to reiterate, $18.9 million is going to Sam Darnold this year, fully guaranteed, unless he gets an extension, which I can't imagine that after this past year. What would you do if you're the Carolina Panthers this upcoming year at quarterback?
I'd sign Mitch Trubisky. He's really intriguing to me. I'd bring him in at a sort of like hybrid contract, let the best player play, and it could be Sam Darnold, it could be Mitch Trubisky. I would even consider drafting another one. I would keep going until I found one, and that's, to me, sort of a methodology you need to have at this position.
Mitch, huh? Okay. We can roll with that. I don't know how much Matt Rule's going to roll with that, how long that would last, but one, I guess when you got a quarterback that's on your cap for $18 million,
you
don't have many options.
True.
What do you think?
I mean.
You have no opinion, just a look.
Mike T's a scout, man. I just can't find the magic in Mitch Trubisky.
I think it's worth noting, and it's a tough subject to talk about because there's so much more than football. But if Deshaun Watson is eligible to be back on a football field next year, it does seem like Carolina would be one of the teams that would at least inquire about a trade.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just can't get past the fact that, I went through it with the Dolphins all season trying to report on that story. You cannot get to the point where you can put Deshaun Watson anywhere until 22
lawsuits
are settled.
Yeah. Right. So we shall see there many, many quarterback storylines this upcoming offseason. The Carolina Panthers will be in the midst of many of them. They have had major struggles over the past 2 years. Tonight on the NFL Live, we're talking Ravens. Their hot start to this past season, very much a thing of the past. Mike thinks Lamar Jackson needs a new number one wide receiver. We dive into what that means when we return here on NFL Live.
The game is changing. I do the.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, we coming.
Lamar Jackson, and he flips in for the touchdown.
That's one of the greatest performances I've ever seen.
I know how to win because I've been the one.
Listen, we're not coming back over without no touchdown.
Jackson throws quickly. He's got a man wide open.
I've been the one. Yeah, I've been the one.
Thing of beauty.
Time for some read and react, and we start with the Ravens. Lamar Jackson posted this workout video on Instagram earlier this week. The quarterback is, of course, recovering from an ankle injury, which forced him to miss the final four games of the season. Here he is getting some throws in. Can't tell where he is, but it looks nice and warm. Hey, Mike T, what are the top two needs for the Ravens this offseason, in your opinion?
Number one is his health. How you call plays, emphasize when it's okay to slide, keep investing in the offensive line. All those things are meaningful. So Lamar can have a long, productive career and stay healthy over a 17-game season. And the other thing is, they need a frontline, bona fide number one receiver. Josh Allen's trajectory was going great, and then they added Stephon Diggs, and it took off. Now, they tried with Sammy Watkins. They tried with Rashad Bateman. I like the philosophy. Keep going. Get a bona fide frontline, number one outside receiver to pair with Mark Andrews. It'll make this Baltimore Raven offense even that much harder to defend.
One of the big storylines in Baltimore this offseason is, of course, the fact that Lamar Jackson has just 1 year left on his contract, his rookie deal. Are you surprised he hasn't done an extension yet?
I am. I mean, you're talking about a former league MVP, and I think the most egregious thing is because of his playing style and the type of offense that they run, you would have thought that Lamar Jackson, who's his own agent, by the way, would have gotten the contract situation out of the way because God forbid he gets injured. We know how things can turn sideways in that particular situation.
Yeah. It's very unusual for a star player like him to go into the last year of his contract. And Lamar Jackson doesn't have an agent. I've been in that situation. It adds some difficulty to it. Hopefully they'll be able to get a deal done. But it does present more questions than answers when your star quarterback only has 1 year to go and he's in the prime of his career.
Hey, his draft classmate, Josh Allen, got a $43 million per year extension. Lamar Jackson, a couple of years removed from being a unanimous MVP. It's time for him to get paid in a major way. All right, going to the NFC North, where the Vikings picked a branch off the Sean McVay coaching tree. They named Rams offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell as their 10th head coach in franchise history. O'Connell spoke about the influence in emulating Sean McVay in his first head coaching gig.
Yeah, it's a culture built on players and coaches being connected. The communication that exists in that building, coach to coach, player to coach, coach to player, is second to none, and it provides a platform for everybody to feel they have the ownership of the why. Being put in positions to play with a quieted mind and go never be asked to do things that they're not capable of, but if we're doing the right things offensively and defensively and on special teams, we get the right kind of players, which I feel like we have already, and we're going to add a lot more. We'll have a great chance to coach those guys up and let them go do exactly that each and every Sunday. But it starts with that culture. It starts with the ability to have the players feel that connectedness in the building. We're going to be starting to try to build that from day one here together. And I think when we do that, our players will feel it and they'll be ready to roll.
So O'Connell is the fourth current head coach who spent time as an assistant under Sean McVay. It's now a head coach in the league somewhere. Pretty impressive result so far. Matt LaFleur went 39-10 in his first three seasons with the Packers. Zach Taylor's made it to the Super Bowl. Meanwhile, Brandon Staley had a winning record in his first season with the Chargers. Could have been a playoff team. Had a near miss in week 18. Now, certainly the quarterbacks there definitely help. You've got Aaron Rodgers. You've got Joe Burrow. You've got Justin Herbert. But do you think, Jeff, that Kevin O'Connell has the right pieces in place to be successful pretty soon in Minnesota?
I do. I think he said exactly this, too. I don't think he would have taken the job if he didn't look at the offense and the defense and see the talent there. They have some contract situations that they have to figure out, but I was at the Packers win when the Vikings beat the Packers in November this year. And I remember feeling the energy in that stadium and really recognizing the talent on the field. This team is very close. 10 games this year were decided by a few points. Really down the stretch, they lost to the Rams and the Packers, two really good teams. I think this team is very close to a playoff run.
Yeah, the point margin would suggest that they are pretty close to being in the mix for the playoffs. We shall see whether there is much transition this offseason under that new regime. There is no transition expected for a quarterback in New York, as Giants quarterback Daniel Jones got a vote of confidence from owner John Mara, who said the team did not do enough to support him. Jones talked about what his goals are for this year on the Breaking Blue podcast with our own Jordan Renan.
I'm certainly, the one responsible for how I play, and I take that very seriously. I haven't played well enough. We haven't won enough games, to this point. So, that's what I'm focused on, and making sure that I'm improving as a player, as we go through this offseason and then into next season, so I'm able to put this team in a position to win games. So I think, that's my focus, is to improve every day. Right now, we're in an offseason stage where you're kind of on your own to do that and to go about that. So that's what I'm focused on.
So, Damian, what can Daniel Jones do to prove that he should be the Giants quarterback in 2022 and beyond?
Well, listen, I think it's a two-pronged approach for Daniel Jones. Number one, turnovers. He's got to do a better job of taking care of the football. But most importantly, this is a guy he needs to be available. This is a guy last year in 2021 who missed six games due to injury. Now, if you want to get a true evaluation of a guy, and it seems like the Giants are going to pull all the resources necessary to get that evaluation, you have to be available. You have to be on the field. That's got to be the first step for Daniel Jones in the evaluation process.
We shall see. He's got to stay healthy as well. Missed those final six games with that neck injury. Worth noting, the Giants have until May 2nd to pick up the fifth-year option on Jones' contract for the 2023 season. They also have the fifth and seventh pick in this year's draft. Not done here on NFL Live, as when we return, Dak Prescott wants more say with the team's decisions on personnel. But what do they need to do to get Dak more involved? We'll tell you next.
It's not a race. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good stuff there. After playing much of the 2021 season with a calf injury, Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott is heading back towards full strength this offseason, and his future is no longer a topic of conversation in Dallas after getting that deal last offseason. He's also looking to have his voice heard in roster construction decisions going forward. Here's what Dak had to say to USA Today about assisting the Cowboys in personnel decisions. Quote, "I'm not going in and knocking on doors saying, hey, I want this done, I want that done. But I'm pretty sure that my opinion will be valued in certain decisions, as I hope so. With that being said, just plan on helping this team get better in every which way I can." All right, Damian, I gotta ask you, should Dak Prescott have say in personnel decisions at all?
Well, listen, when you drop the bag on a quarterback like that, yeah, absolutely. I think that's a courtesy that most organizations do with these high-priced quarterbacks. We've seen it with, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, all these quarterbacks that's making a lot of money. And I think, one thing when you talk about Dak Prescott, I mean, this is a dude high character. Yeah. So I think that it doesn't mean that the organization is going to go along with what his opinion is, but to include your quarterback in that and just – be a sounding board, I think a quarterback really appreciates something like that.
Yeah, I actually have done that. Ryan Tannehill was involved in a coaching search. He met with some of the candidates. They met with him. Both sides appreciated it. And again, Ryan Tannehill wasn't making the decision, but his feedback was really helpful. And going back to when we talked about Aaron Rodgers, he was involved with the Randall Cobb decision. When they have ownership, they're going to work even harder to make sure it's the right decision. So I don't see any downside. Dak has earned a seat at the table. Jerry Jones is going to make every decision. But some of the nuances that a player brings to the table sometimes are very helpful.
I actually don't think that this is that foreign across the league. Mm. A lot of times these quarterbacks are brought into these conversations. And I got to be honest, if they're not, they should be.
Right.
More than ever, we're talking about quarterbacks becoming an extension between the coaching staff and the locker room. And I think at this point, any team that doesn't recognize that is behind the eight ball. Quarterbacks are no longer just another player. They are the face of the franchise, and they should be considered when it comes to these conversations. And I do think across the league, you look at some of the really good teams, and they are just that.
Remember, Kyler Murray brought up the desire to be more involved in Cardinals' personnel decisions. Interesting offseason now in Arizona with him. Maybe they're saying, hey, let's figure out your future before you start figuring out the people's future.
That's real slick. That's real slick, Phil. It's real slick.
You can do that on second contract.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. Second contract. All right, but the Cowboys are, you would think, going to acquiesce to not everything Dak wants, but perhaps some of the things that he wants. But, Mike, if you were running the Cowboys, what would be your offseason to-do list? What do they need most?
I would protect Dak Prescott, and there's two pieces that we got to really focus in on. Connor Williams hasn't really been the same player, really has struggled with penalties. And then the great Tyron Smith, he's a great player, but he has had huge durability issues. D. Wood, I know you know about offensive linemen with durability issues.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, and because of that, they have to address the offensive line. It needs to be more disciplined, and they need to add more talent to it. It was once a strength of this team, and it's something they need to address in the offseason.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to go to the big uglies on the other side, the defensive line with Randy Gregory. We saw how the pass rush affected the Dallas Cowboys defense in a positive manner. You know, you talk about Michael Parsons and Randy Gregory. Randy Gregory has just been a revelation as far as his comeback story is concerned with the Dallas Cowboys defense. I think it's going to be imperative for them to re-sign him, because you want that three-headed monster on the defensive line to really be able to get after the quarterback. That's the juice that really propels that Dallas Cowboys defense.
Mike, that's an interesting one on Randy Gregory. He's a player that availability has been a question mark, but talent is unquestioned. How much can a team offer Randy Gregory? Like, do you have a reasonable range of money you think on a per-year basis he should be angling for and a team should be willing to offer?
Yeah, it's really about the structure. So what I would do there, Field, is I would sit down with him. I look at the highest paid pass rusher and say, hey, Randy, we're on the same side of the table. We're going to let you get to be a top five pass rusher, but we're going to do it in a way where it's based on play time, it's based on production, and we'll give you a meaningful guarantee. But our concern is everything that you guys alluded to. But they are a difference-making defense. When those three guys, DeMarcus Lawrence, Randy Gregory, and Micah Parsons are on the field together, they are unstoppable. So re-signing him is important. But to me, it would be about structure, and structure.
Yeah, really intriguing player. He played some of his best football yet in his career this season. That being said, has to be available in a guy who has been suspended before by the NFL. So the Cowboys have a number of free agents to deal with this offseason, perhaps none more important than Randy Gregory. Also worth noting, Michael Gallup going to be a free agent. Wide receiver tore his ACL late in the season.